Turn your Bibles this morning to Exodus chapter 35. Exodus chapter 35. Just getting familiar, it's Genesis, and the second book of our Bible is Exodus chapter 35. We'll be reading three verses, verses 20 through 22 this morning. If you'll join me just on that one verse of 21, if you found Exodus chapter 35, if you'll please stand in honor of reading of God's Word. Exodus chapter 35, beginning verse number 20. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whom his spirit willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing, hearted, and brought bracelets, and earrings, and rings, and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And let's pray this morning. Again, Father, it's so good to be able to open up your good book, to be able to stand here this morning, and Father, the Holy Spirit, to know that did a work this week in our hearts. I pray that you'd bless again these missionaries, help us be able to take them on. I pray that you bless the special, prepare our hearts for the message. In your name we pray. Amen.
None of us are perfect. We've all failed the Lord. We struggle with our failures, and we need to be restored. The voice of condemnation says you've crossed God's final line. But there's no place so dark His light of mercy cannot find. You'll never be beyond His mercy. You can't go that far. The cross can bridge the distance to anywhere you are. It doesn't matter where you've fallen. The love of God can heal your scars. You'll never be beyond His mercy. No, you can't go that far. God sent His Son Jesus to cover every sin. So there's no one so hopeless that His grace can't bring back in. His blood can reach the secret place where unforgiveness reigns. The message of the cross can reach the farthest one away. It doesn't matter where you've been. You can't go that far. The cross can bridge the distance to anywhere you are. It doesn't matter where you've fallen. The love of God can heal your scars. You'll never be beyond His mercy. No, you can't go that far. You'll never be beyond His mercy. You can't go that far. The cross can bridge the distance to anywhere you are. It doesn't matter where you've fallen. The love of God can heal your scars. You'll never be beyond His mercy. No, you can't go that far. You'll never be beyond His mercy. No, you can't go that far.
Man, that was a blessing, Brother Tony. Thank you. I've often sat behind Tony and thought, man, I wish I could preach like he sings. He sings so effortlessly. I know there's effort in it, but he don't look like there's any effort in it. And I'm up here flailing away, you know, and having a fit and falling in the middle of it. And he does it so effortlessly. And a great song this morning. Thank you. Brother Tony, he didn't leave because he's angry. He's going to teach a class. Amen. So that is good. All right. I want to speak to you this morning on where there's a will. And I don't think I have to finish it, right? It's not even in the rest of my title. Because you know it. Where there's a will, there's a way. All right? So let's pray together. And I hope this will be a message that will help you about our missions fund, missions giving. And I make no apologies for preaching on this. And people, church talk about money. Well, you know what? A church that's alive and has any vision, it's going to take money to get things done. And so I don't shy away from it. And I'll preach it this morning and ask the Lord to help us as we do. Father, we come before You. We're grateful for Your mercy. We're grateful, Lord, that the cross bridges the distance from where You are to where we end up in life. And, oh, Lord, thank You for the gospel message and what it means to us. And thank You, Lord, for a church interested in not just sending it here in the area, but around the world. God, I pray that You'll bless our time in Your book this morning. Help me, I pray, in these thoughts to be helpful to the people. May Your Spirit please speak to our hearts, for I ask it in Christ's name. And amen. God gave us a good missions conference this week. The missionary families were a blessing. If you can't make it to the morning sessions, I feel bad for you, because those missionary men brought some tremendous messages. In fact, I want to say this, that Brother Heath on Tuesday morning walked in the office back there. He said, Pastor, he said, I have a message that's burning on my heart, but it's not missions. And I said, what's about? He said, it's about depression and suicide. And he said, I don't know why, but I just feel like God wants me to preach it. I was shocked, because in the previous 8 to 10 days, I had worked with two and heard about a third person that was involved. One committed suicide. I didn't know the person, but I heard about the story. And then the other two people didn't commit suicide, but they were greatly depressed. And I tried to help both of those. So when he said, I feel like I ought to preach on depression and suicide, I said, man, go for it. If that's what God wants. I'm going to tell you something. That was probably the best message on the subject of depression I've ever heard, and suicide. So if you battle with that, and some people do. Now look, it's not bad to battle with it. What's bad is to ignore it and be afraid to get some help. If I was you, I'd order that message. I'd get that message on CD. Or if you got internet access, are those messages on? Will they be on the internet? Will they be on the internet? They will be, yeah. So they're recorded for us. Yeah, Brother Scott was here all week. So I would get that message, because I'm going to tell you something. That was some Bible-based truths that he brought on the subject that I think could be extremely helpful to you. It was a blessing. They were just a blessing. I enjoyed Brother Runyon. He's getting older. His health is not the best. But his heart is still really strong to see people saved and get churches started. You know, folks, don't forget this. I said this on Wednesday night. Our culture is different from a lot of cultures in the world. Our culture, you get old and a little slower, and your mind doesn't work as fast as it did, and people just kick you to the curb. But that's not that way in most cultures around the world. Most cultures around the world, they worship the elderly. And he's saying amen, because his church took on credibility in Madagascar when they got an older man in it. Took on the whole credibility. And, you know, sometimes their mind doesn't work as quick. But I will tell you something. It'd be real easy for Brother Runyon and men his age just to sit at home and run their ministries from their office. You see the man walk with a cane. You see his feet. They're eaten up with neuropathy. He's lost some toes to diabetes. And his hands, you ever shake hands with him? His hands are completely crumpled. They're just crumpled. And I guess with the arthritis. And so I appreciate him coming. It would have been very easy for him not to come. And I enjoyed the whole conference. You know, every conference is different. Brother Scott and I were talking about that today. Every conference has a different emphasis. Every conference takes on a different spirit. I was amazed at this one. There was nothing emotional. A lot of times in a missions conference, there's an emotional moment. And there really wasn't, other than the memorial video that we did last Sunday night for Brother Wesson and Brother Champlin, maybe. But as far as the messages and things like that, there was not this real, stirring moment that left your emotions all scrambled. It was just good, basic, helpful messages and testimonies. It was a good conference. Now comes the crucial part, and that is, what are you and I going to do to support missions globally for the next 12 months? Are we going to participate? by giving a designated amount of money so we can add these four families that we don't support to these that we already do support and keep supporting and so forth, supporting other missionaries as well when we take special offerings. Are we going to keep doing it? Now, to encourage us today, we read the story here in the book of Exodus. Let me give you the setting of the occasion, okay? The children of Israel have been delivered from bondage in the land of Egypt through the blood on the doorpost, okay? They've gone through the Red Sea, and now Moses has received the law from God off Mount Sinai, and God instructed Moses to build a tabernacle. The tabernacle would be a special place for the children of Israel. It would be the place of the sacrifices and the place of the offerings. God's presence would come to the tabernacle. And you know that any building requires material. We built this building. We had to have all kinds of material. There's steel studs in the walls. There's drywall. There's wood. There's flooring. There's wood up in the attic. The trusses up there. It takes all kinds. There's brick. There's cement block. There's all kinds of materials that go into a building project. So they're going to build the tabernacle. So God told him. He said, "Tell the people that I want to take an offering from them." For the material to build the tabernacle. Now, I won't take time to do it, but if you read verses 4 through 9 in chapter 35, you would read there where the different type things. They brought gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and spices and oil. They brought all these things for the building of the tabernacle. But I want you to notice just one verse. I want you to notice when God told Moses what to tell the people. Look at what he said in verse number 5. "Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart." He said, "Now Moses, I want you to take an offering. Take it from the people, and I want you to take this offering from whoever has a willing heart." Folks, there was no browbeating. There were no angry threats. There was none of that. It was whosoever is of a willing heart. And you're not going to hear any threats from the pulpit. You're not going to hear any angry browbeating about not giving to missions giving. I'm just going to tell you what Moses told the people back then. Missions giving is for people who have a willing heart. Do you want to participate? Those are the folks that he was talking to here. And when you get down to our text, verses 20 through 22 that we read with Brother Bragg a moment ago, you'll find in verse 21, every one whom his spirit made willing. And down in verse number 22, as many as were willing hearted. And by the way, later on in verse number 29, he talks about a willing offering. Now people, when you read the same word over and over and over again in the same passage, it's the emphasis. It's what God is emphasizing. And God is taking an offering. And it's not a commanded offering. It's not thou shalt every one of you. It's a willing offering. Do you want to give? You want to give something for the building of the tabernacle? Bring it in. Whoever is of a willing heart, whoever has a willing mind, whoever is stirred up in his heart and wants to, let them bring this offering. And we find in subsequent chapters that the tabernacle was erected from the gifts that the people gave for the building of the tabernacle. Now, I want to draw some lessons from this story as it pertains to giving to missions, okay? First of all, some of this is going to be very short because I want to get to the meat of it. First of all, I want you to see this. This offering was different from the tithe. This offering was different from the tithe. Now, without going into great detail, the children of Israel were already giving the tithe. Already giving it. Tithing was established all the way back in the book of Exodus, and God's people continued bringing in the tithe. I've had people say to me, "I don't tithe. Why don't you tithe?" Well, I don't tithe because it's part of the law. That's an erroneous statement. Tithing was being practiced before God gave Moses the law. That's an erroneous statement. You've got to be careful what you say sometimes. So tithing was already established when God asked for this offering. Now, wait a minute. When God asked for this offering, He didn't tell the people, "Okay, for the time being, I want you to stop giving the tithe, and I want you to bring an offering for the tabernacle." No, that wasn't what He said. on top of the utmost for a different, it was different from the tithe. The tithe, 10% of their gain was going to be brought. Now folks, giving to missions is an offering that is above the tithe. The tithe belongs to God. Now listen, your tithe and my tithe does not belong to Wendell Runyon. Our tithe does not belong to Ben Smith. Our tithe does not belong to Adrian Ferrari. Our tithe belongs to God. It's His. The Bible says that the tithe is the Lord's. Okay, and I've gone into things before about people who say that, well, that's Old Testament, but don't make the Bible say something it doesn't say. I've got more proof in my New Testament that God's people are to continue to tithe than you do that they don't. Because in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul references the tithe in the Old Testament, and he says, even so, in this New Testament church age, God's people should practice the same thing. So the tithe is not to stop. This offering is different from the tithe. That's clearly taught. And a missions offering, when we're saying, hey church, do you want to take part in missions giving? We're not saying to take from the tithe to give to missions. The tithe is God's, okay? Belongs in the local church, in the storehouse. And missions giving would be different, would be above the tithe. Number two, just like this offering. Number two, this offering was for a specific purpose. This offering was for the building of the tabernacle. Now, the tithe was used to care for the living of the priest who served at the tabernacle. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean, the tithe was used to make the bread for the table of showbread. The tithe was used, the oil that was tithed was used for the candlestick that lit up the tabernacle. The ingredients to make the incense that was burned on the altar came from the tithe. The animals to offer for a sacrifice came from the tithe. What am I saying? The priest got their living from the tithe. The tithe was used to operate the different functions of the tabernacle. That's why they brought the tithe to the tabernacle. Now, the offering that God took here in Exodus 35 was for a specific purpose. It was for the building of the tabernacle. You see, it wouldn't have been right if somebody brought in some purple linen for the building of the tabernacle. It was not for the priest to take for himself. If somebody brought in some spice to help make the oil for the altar of incense, it wasn't for the priest to take home and give to his wife. It wasn't for that purpose. This offering was for giving to the building of the tabernacle. It was to stay in that for that purpose, the building of the tabernacle. Now, in the same way, the tithe is used here at Faith Baptist Church to operate the functions of the church. When you and I tithe, when we give the 10% that belongs to God, back to God, the tithe is how the pastoral staff and the secretaries and the janitor and all those folks are paid. That's how the church bills are paid, how ComEd is paid, how NICOR is paid, how Aqua, the water company, is paid, how the sewer bill is paid, how the insurance premiums are paid, how the programs of the church are operated. All of that comes out of the tithe that God's people give. And if you're careful, your church budget needs to operate on the income that comes from the tithe. That's how you do it. Now, missions giving, money that is given to missions, is never used for the function of the church. We don't operate on missions money. We have an entirely different fund for the missions dollars. So if you're sitting there worried about giving to missions, you know, I would give to missions, but I don't want to end up to, I don't want my money given to missions end up paying for an insurance premium. You don't have to worry about that. No money that is given to missions ever goes anywhere but missionaries and mission conferences. Special projects for missionaries. Anywhere. Folks, look, not only is that unethical, if you give money for missions for me to take it and spend it somewhere else, that's not only unethical, in today's world, that's illegal. And pastors have gotten in trouble, legal trouble, by taking money that was designated for this and using it over here. And I don't care much for, I don't mind the jail ministry, but I don't care much for going there myself. All right? I'm not doing that by the grace of God, all right, unless I get in trouble because I preach the Word of God. Now, by the way, we don't use missions money for our bus ministry. Now, I know some churches that do. And I'm not picking on them. That's fine. That's their business. They want to do that. They fund the bus ministry because the bus ministry is outreach and mission starts across the street. And so they fund their bus ministry out of missions money. We have chosen not to do that. The only thing that happens to missions money is missions related. It was for a specific purpose. Are you with me this morning? Understand that, okay? Now, I know this is bread and potatoes for a lot of you. Okay, yeah, I've heard that before. But some folks don't know that, okay? So I'm preaching it this morning. It's a fitting message to preach at the end of this conference. This money was given for a specific, this material was given for a specific purpose, and missions money is given for a specific purpose, all right? Now, number two, not only was it different from the tithe, not only was it for a specific purpose, number three, this offering was a matter of the will. It was a matter of the will. It was not a commanded offering. Folks, commands are something that you and I should do even if we don't want to. A command is a command. When you gave your children the command, does that mean they had an option to obey? Now, in fact, they probably got in trouble if they didn't obey. When God gives us a command, well, I don't feel like that, Lord. Well, you know, I'm sorry. Do it. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with living life like that. Just obey God because God said. Now, missions giving, the offering here for this tabernacle was not a commanded offering. Wait a minute. God commanded Moses to tell the people to give. But He didn't tell people it's a commandment. He said, Moses, I want to tell you something. You need to do this, Moses. This is a commandment. You go tell the people that they're going to take an offering for the building of the tabernacle. And this offering is a free will offering. People, there was no penalty for not giving to the tabernacle building. They would not be in trouble necessarily for not giving for the tabernacle. They could get in a mess if they didn't tithe. And I'm going to tell you the truth. People still get in a mess today for not tithing. They get in a mess today. That's why the first question, people come to ask me about finances and blah, 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 da, 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 and I'm in a mess. First thing I'm going to say is, what are you doing with the tithe? What are you doing with the tithe? First thing I ask. Because that's commanded. This is not commanded. So they're not, there's not, listen, and I want you to know this. This is my point this morning. There's nothing hanging over their head. It's not a dark cloud. Some people approach missions conference. Missions conference, and it's going to be money. It's going to be money. There's no dark cloud over this thing, folks. Whoever's got a willing heart. Whoever has a willing heart. Whoever has a willing spirit. Moses said, okay, hey, we're going to take an offering for the building of the tabernacle. God just said, whoever wants to give, get in, man. And jump in if you want to jump in. You got a willing heart? Give. Now, we need to notice that God never used the word able. He never said whoever has the ability to give. He didn't say if you're able to give. No, He said if you're willing. Because if He had said able, that would maybe have eliminated some people who just were not able. But hear me, church. Willing is entirely different than able. You know where willing puts the burden? On us. Who's willing? Because where there is a will, there's a way. People usually find a way to do what they want to do. What do you want to do? Well, that's what you'll find a way to do. And the truth is, there never has been a problem with the way. The way can always be found, but the will is a different matter. Different matter. So if you're going to give the missions offering, it's a willing offering. If you're not willing, then maybe you should start to examine your heart. Why not? Why wouldn't I want to give something to send the gospel around the world? It's a willing offering. Here's the thing, folks. Automatically, our minds run to situations and scenarios like this. Well, you know, if I did give, it wouldn't be much. So I'm really, it's better not to do anything than do just a little bit. Now, where did you ever find that in the Bible? Where did you ever find in the Bible that little means nothing? The truth of the matter is, what you find in the Bible is God can take a little amount and do a whole lot with it. I'm going to tell you what that is. That's just the evidence of an unwilling heart. Hey, look at verse number 4. Look at verse number 5. Look at verse number 5. In the chapter, let me show you something here. You got your Bible open? Okay. Look at Exodus 35, verse 5. Whosoever is of a willing heart, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. A willing heart, bring it in. An offering of the Lord. Look at what he says. Gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins dyed red and badger skins and shittim wood and oil for the light and spices for an oil and for the sweet and onyx stones. And you see all the things they can bring? Hey, we're going to take an offering for the tabernacle. You want to take a part in it? Great, do it. Okay, what can we bring? Well, you got gold? Sure. Okay, you can get some gold if you want to. Get some silver if you want to. If you don't have gold or silver, you can bring some linen to make the curtains. If you don't have linen, you got some herbs growing. Can you see some Israelite family? Maybe, you know, they just haven't gotten the gold and silver that another Israelite family does. Oh, that might be hard to find, a Jewish family without gold or silver or diamonds somewhere. But anyway, you know, so here's this one family. They don't have as much as another family has. You know, so they see the guy walking in with a little bag full of gold coins or silver coins. And they think, man, I don't have anything to give. But they got some spices growing in the garden. They got some herbs growing in the garden. And they can go out to the garden and pick up a couple of handfuls of spices and take it down to the tabernacle for the offering. And I'll tell you something, folks. God is just as pleased with that little handful of herbs and spices as He is that bag of gold. And there's people in this room who have been given the missions for so long, if you'll let me say it this way, that the amount they give is pretty substantial. And there might be somebody in the room this morning saying, you know, I've never taken part in missions giving, and the very most I could do is a dollar a week, and what's that? So I'll just sit this one out. What is God going to do with that dollar? I think I remember a story somewhere where he took 5 pieces of bread and 2 pieces of fish and fed about 18, 20,000 people. Folks, bring your dollar. And if you can bring 2, bring 2. And if you can do 5, give 5. If you can give 50, give. If you can give 100, give 100. Yeah, well, nobody's going to give $100. Be careful. Be careful. You don't take in $160,000 in missions giving in a year without somebody giving some, folks. Be careful. It's not a merit, it's not a comparison thing. It's not a measurement thing. It's from a willing heart. A willing heart. And where there's a will, there's a way. Who was it? Who was it? Was it Brother Runyon said that he was again Brother Runyon? He said that, yeah, he took his wife out for lunch, and after he dropped his wife off, he'd go back to the office and he would pull through Starbucks, and he liked one of those crazy drinks. You know, it's about 10 words long. Whatever happened to, give me a Coke. You know, give me this strawberry vanilla cappuccino French vanilla flavored meltdown liquid cold coffee. Help us. Did I get the word latte in there? You can get that in there either. Espresso. Give me a root beer. Give me RC and a moon pie. The simple days. Give me RC and a moon pie. And he's spending, I don't drink them. Some of you guys, that's $4. And we complain, gas is terrible high. The whole gallon costs $2.25. And my 8-ounce drink costs $4. And he said God spoke to his heart one day. And he said, you know, if you gave that little drink up at Starbucks, that's 20, what'd it be, 4 times 5, that's $20. And he gave it up. Nobody beat him over the head. He spoke to his heart. And you know, Brother Runyon has a willing heart. You know, where there's a will, there's a way. And if you've never, look, folks, if you've never participated in missions giving, and again, the amount is not the important thing. The thing is the heart that wants to. And because you want to, you find a way. And the way may be very minimal, but that's, let God judge all that. God is looking at the heart. You may not give as much as you'd even like to give, but a willing heart finds a way to give something. So, you know, you hear this thing about missions giving. How do we do it? Do you want to give to missions? If you really want to, it really is in your heart, you'll find a way. Because where there's a will, there's always been a way. Always been a way. So, wait a minute now. This offering was different from the tithe. This offering was for a specific purpose. This offering was a matter of the will. And let me say last of all this morning, this offering had a special end result. Now, do you have your Bible here? Turn over to chapter 40, okay? When you get to chapter 40 in the book of Exodus, this is the last chapter, last chapter of Exodus. Look at about verse number 33. I like to hear the pages of the Bible turning this morning. Look at Exodus chapter 40, verse 33. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. So the tabernacle is built. Where did it all come from? It came from the people. Look at verse 34. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Here sits this building that is the result of willing people who some of them brought gold, some brought silver, some brought a spice, some brought an oil, some brought a badger skin, some brought a piece of shittim wood. But, you know, whoever was a willing heart, they brought a something. And Moses and the builders, Bezalel and others, took all that material and built the tabernacle. And as soon as it was done, God's glory filled it. They all stood back and just kind of went, wow. And that's what happens, folks. Giving to missions has a special end result. You know what happens with that missions money? People get saved. Now you tell me what's better than that. In prison, in Sudan, in Kenya, in Argentina, where we don't have a voice, people get saved. Now, you've seen, by the way, you're going to get to see in just a few weeks, a little bit, it's going to be a while, but Brother Dave Schrock and Gina have been over in Belarus for all these years. The going has been tough in Belarus. But they had a man either saved or reached a man who was already saved years ago by the name of Vladimir. Am I saying that right, Vladimir? I've met Vladimir. I met him when I went to the on the missions trip with these fellows. And he interpreted for me in a message that I preached to the teenagers at that conference. He interpreted for me, translated. He's a fine man, him and his wife. And now he's pastoring one of the churches. And he's coming to the States. He's going to be here at our church. You're going to see up here in this pulpit the living embodiment of your missions giving. And I've been on the field and been privileged to see that. You know, I'll tell you, I was over in Madagascar earlier this year when Ben and Ashley were in South Africa with the baby, Sam. And I met this man named Dolph. Am I saying that right? D-U-L-F? I don't know how it's spelled, but Dolph. Okay. Anyway, it probably has 14 A's in it, but it's pronounced Dolph, okay? Dolph. But anyway, so I met Dolph, and you know what caught me about Dolph was his countenance. His countenance. Because you drive down to those streets of Antananarivo, you don't see a lot of happy people. You see a lot of heavy-hearted people. Life is hard. You see women with bricks stacked on their heads. You see men, you see women and children, teenagers, sitting on the side of the road with big pieces of rock, with pick, little hand pick, and they sit there for 8 hours a day, and they chip that big piece of rock into little gravel. That's how they get their gravel. They have a little bitty pile of gravel, and somebody will come by and buy it all day long. Chink, chink, chink. Their life is hard. They don't have electricity. Their water's nasty. They wash their clothes in the river, set them on the banks of the river to dry. Hey, folks, we're not talking America here. But old Dolph was just beaming. Young man, 28, 27, beaming. And I remember, I was trying to get a hold of Ben this morning to find out the details and be reminded, but I think, he can correct me if I'm wrong, I think he was one of the ones that when you started playing basketball, there was a court over by the house where they first lived in Madagascar, and Ben would pay the money to rent that court for 2 hours. All right? And those Malagasy young men would come play. And they'd play ball. And a lot of times, at the end of the time, 2 hours, they're done, he'd give them a little devotion or invite them to church. And all that time, Dolph was offish. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. And then I think you moved. So you're no longer over there playing basketball. But Dolph came to see him. And guess what? Dolph hit bottom. And basically, I don't know what he said to Ben, but something like, this is paraphrased, and he can correct me. Something like, my life is a mess, and I got to have something. And you used to talk to us. And Dolph got saved. And you talk about a countenance that's lit up, starlight. And I'm telling you, friends, sat there Sunday, both Sundays I was there, Sunday school, Sunday morning, came back for the afternoon service, sat there, tie on, shirt, got his Bible, and listening and listening, and one of the happiest Christians you've ever met in your life is that young man. And he was saved because churches here in America sent a missionary to Madagascar. Now, I don't know how that doesn't reach down and excite you. That's the end result. That's the end result. And when you hear these stories by Luke Shelby about Kenya, all these 24 churches, folks, they're not talking about a church like this. We're talking about a little building in a village, and the next village over 7 miles, and the next village over 6 miles, because they don't have vehicles. And where they live, there's a church. And there's a pastor. And there's singing, and there's preaching, and there's praising God, and there's witnessing, and more folks getting saved. That's the end result of giving to missions. I will tell you, where there's a will, there's always a way. Always. It was a different offering from the tithe. It was for a specific purpose. It was a matter of the will, and it had a glorious end result. And so does our missions giving. It's different from the tithe. It's for a specific purpose. It's a matter of the will, and it has a glorious end result. I hope that you'll consider it this year. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Thank you for listening this morning. That's the last message on missions that you'll hear from me this week. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder who would say this morning, Pastor, the message was either a reinforcement of what I already knew or something I learned, and it was a help, and I want God's will in my heart and life concerning missions this coming year. Would you raise your hand, please, if that's you this morning, and I appreciate that. Thank you so very much. God bless you. But take your hand down. Appreciate it. I appreciate the encouragement of the continued participation. Maybe there's somebody here today, you learned something new. Think about it, go home and chew on it, pray about it. That's what missions is all about. Now, I said at the very end here how these folks get saved on the mission field as the result of missionaries going and us sending them with the gospel message. And maybe you're not saved. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not sure that you're saved. Said, Pastor Angel, I don't know where I'm going when I die. I don't know where I'll spend eternity. I don't know if I'm saved or lost, heaven or hell. I have no clue. I have no clue where I'm going to spend eternity. Is that you this morning? Would you slip your hand up in the air so I could just pray for you when we close? Anybody like that here today? front to back, side to side, upstairs. I don't know that I'm saved. Anybody like that here today? You're concerned about it? All right. Maybe there's somebody here today, you've been saved but not baptized. You haven't followed the Lord in believer's baptism and you want to be obedient to Christ. Say, Pastor, I'm saved but I've not been baptized. Pray for me. Somebody like that here today, would you slip your hand up in the air? God bless you. If you want to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, you can do that today. And I would encourage you to obey the Lord there. Anybody else? If you want to do that this morning, you come during the invitation time. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word and what we can learn from it. Thank you for these last several days we've spent together here. Thank you for the participation of your people. Thank you for people who will leave home, family, culture, and go to another country with the gospel message. Now, Lord, may we have your mind and may we be obedient to it for this coming year. Touch our hearts, help us, and bless us in Jesus' name. In just a moment, when we give the invitation, why don't you come, kneel, and say, God, please lead me, guide me, direct me. In this year, as I give to missions, I want to obey you. If you need to be baptized or saved, you come, see one of these fellas, and we'll take care of that with you this morning. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies are playing a song of invitation. You come this morning. Obey the Lord while we wait.